Zakta Hele Mishnah Vaiter Masechtas Pchairis Perik Dalid Mishnah Dalid. So only a mumcha, an expert, can determine whether the mum is a qualifying mum, and that the behemah is no longer a carbon for the mizbeach, and then it can stam be shechted and used. What makes someone a mumcha on this? You can't just hang up a sign and say, I'm a mumcha, come show me your pchar. He has to be a person that's baki in the halachais of different blemishes. He has to understand how animals work and what the blemishes are. He also has to be someone that has reshus. He has permission from the Nasi or from a Bezdin Musmach that has smicha in Eretz Yisrael, that he is allowed to paskin this shayla to be matter a pchar. So what happens if I say, nah, I have to go to a mumcha? You know, my next door neighbor, Greinan, he knows about these things. He doesn't have permission from the Nasi to paskin, but he knows behemoths. Wow. He really knows them. I'll ask him. Grainim, is this a mum? Yeah, Grainim says. For sure it's a mum. Zakt de Mishnah Misha Einoi Mumcha. If someone is not an expert, V'roya Sabchar, despite that, he paskins that it's a mum kvua. V'nishchar al piv. And I went and I taka shechted it based on what this person named Grainim said. Zakt de Mishnah Harezeh Yekaver. You have to bury this pchar that I shechted. And then we're going to knock on the door of Mr. Greinem, the Yeshale, and he's going to have to pay the Kayan, me basically out of his own pocket, from his own money, for the loss of the behemoth. Because this person had no right to paskin. He had no permission from a bezin to paskin. So imagine, the Kayan knocks on Greinem's door and says, you paskin that it's a mum? He says, yes, okay, you owe me money. How much do I owe you? Now, let's say the value of the pchar was 100. Does he have to pay him the whole 100? No. See, we can't be sure. The Greinim, again, we're using the name Greinim for the hedyot, the regular person who didn't have permission to pass in the shaila. We can't be sure that our friend Greinim really caused the kayan the loss. Because it could be, had you showed this to a real mumcha who had permission from the nasi to paskin, he would have said the same thing. Or it could be, had we gone to a real mumcha, he would have said, no, this is a temporary mum. You can't shecht based on this. And it could be the behemoth would have never developed a permanent mum until it died. So the kain wouldn't have had anything regardless. So we can't be sure that Greinim, who decided to paskin on his own, caused the hefsid. And therefore, explains the Batanura, this is from the Gemara, he's going to pay half of the value of the pchar. Half? That's if it was a cow, let's say, a calf. If we're talking about a pchar of sheep or goats, a behemadaka, so the chacham, we're mesakin, is going to pay a quarter of its value. Why? Because to raise sheep and goats, it's very hard. It's much harder than raising a cow, which pretty much does it on its own, eats on its own, and so on. So really, it could be the fact that he shechted it, that the kohen shechted this sheep or goat, saved him a lot of tircha, a lot of work. Let's say he went to a real expert, and that expert said, no, it's not a good mum. And he would have had to have worked with this and worked with this and feed it and take it to the grass and bring it back into the barn until it gets a mum kvua. So in a sense, the kain also saved himself a lot by being shechted. Therefore, so Chazal said, for a behema daka, for paskening when you're not a mumcha, he would pay a quarter of the value. So while we're on this topic, the Mishnah goes on to discuss what happens b'chlal if someone paskins and makes a mistake. Donis adin. Let's say someone paskins. Dinim amenas, Reuven and Shimon have a shayla about money, and someone gives out a psak. And it's a wrong psak. Zika sechayiv. Let's say Reuven really owes Shimon the money, and he said, no, Reuven doesn't owe him the money. Or, v'chiev es hazaka. He said Reuven owes him the money, and the truth is he doesn't. He's innocent. Or let's say someone comes to ask him, a shayla, is this tame or tar? And time is a tar. Really, it's tar, but he's paskin that it's tame. Or vitir is a tame. Really, it's tame, and he paskined that it's tar. Wait a second. If it's really tame, and I told him that it's tar, so how did I cause the bialim a hefsid? Well, let's say I ask him about this barrel of tefuah, tame or tar. He says, no, tar. So I mixed it with other tefuah. With other tefuah that's really tar. And now suddenly someone says, no, but the real psak halach is what you did was tameh. The stam is, if it's just chulin, okay, so there's some tameh mixed into it. Nish geferlach, just to make sure that someone who doesn't eat tameh de gefuah doesn't need it. But let's say what I asked this person about was truma. Tameh de truma that got mixed in with others could be everything now, can't be used. So there could be a terrible hefset by saying something is tar when it's really tameh. So the din is masha asa asi. The psak stays psak. Even though the dayan himself says, oops, I made a mistake. We don't say, okay, return the money to him. Or, no, now you do have to pay. Because hikataina, well, maybe the first psak was okay. Maybe he's making a mistake now when he says that he was wrong. And he was really right. And about truma tahayri, let's say the chacham paskin that it's tameh. So here you have to assume it's tameh. Even after the Chacham changed his mind. Because that's the din Torah. You have to go with what the Chacham paskin. Now the other way around, if the Chacham would say that the Truma Tameya is tar, then it turns out, no, it's really Tameh. Well, you can't say, he paskin, it's tar. And you have to treat it like it's Tameh. So it's complicated. But Lamaisa, if he made a mistake, what's done is done. In most cases, and via Shalom Yibesai, he's going to have to pay from his own money. However, if this dayan that paskin, he wasn't stam a dayan that paskin. He wasn't stam someone who knows the halacha. He said, I think this is the halacha. No, this is a person that was an expert. Bezen gave him rishus to be considered a mumcha, and patim alashalim, he's patim to pay on the stakes that he may have made. It's kind of like, if I'm not a good plumber, I'm not a plumber at all. I take a job to fix someone's sink, and I destroy his pipes or whatever, I have to pay. What did I do? I had no right to say I was a plumber, but let's say I am a licensed plumber and I made a mistake. I may not have to pay. Al pi halach. Okay. Ma'aseh, there was a story. Bepara shenitla ha'em shela. It didn't have its womb. They came to Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon said, this is treifa. So v'yachila Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon gave to eat the flesh of this para laklavim, to the dogs. Again, the owner of this para came and said, look, we shechted this para. It turns out it doesn't have a womb. Tarfon said, it's treifa. Fed it to the dogs. Ibon mais lefnei chacham. Afterwards, this story came to the chachamim. V'tirua, they said, no, such a para is not treifa. The meat would be kosher. Amar toides haroifa. Toides haroifa said. Toides the doctor said. Ain't para v'chazira yoytzem Alexandria. There's no para or chazira. No cow or female chazir that comes out of Alexandria. That was in Mitzrayim, big city called Alexandria. It's still there, that city. Atshem choyschin ese'em shela. They first cut out its womb. B'shvil shalei tel, they don't want it to give birth. The people in Alexandria said, no, we want you to have to buy these animals from us because they were superior quality. If they're going to give birth in a different land, you won't have to come to us anymore. We want to make money. So they made sure, they took out the womb to make sure that these animals shouldn't have children after they're purchased. And they saw b'chush that these animals didn't die within a year, so it's not treifa, because the womb is not there. Amar Reb Tarfon. So Reb Tarfon, when he heard this halacha, he said an interesting lashon. He said, halcha chamarcha Tarfon. Your donkey is going to have to leave you, Tarfon. He was talking to himself. In other words, he's going to have to sell his donkey in order to pay the owner of the cow on the hefset that he was goyim, that he caused him by saying that it's treifa. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said to him, Reb Tarfon, pata, you're pata to pay, even though you made a mistake. Sha'ata mumcha lebezdin. You're a mumcha, you have permission to paskin. And the rule is, anyone that's an official mumcha to Bezdin that was given permission to paskin shailas, patim alashalam, is patim to pay on this mistake. Okay, so what did we learn in our Mishnah here? Mishnah Dalet, we learned a person who was not a mumcha. He never got an official permission by the Nasi or by the official Bezdin to paskin. By a Bezdin that has smicha. Smicha means they had smicha all the way up until Moshe Rabbeinu. That was called Bezen Samach. A person that never got such permission from either the Nasi or a Bezen to Paskin whether a mum is a real mum. And he was matir. He said, nah, don't worry, shechted, it's a good mum. That p'chor has to be buried. And the person that gave the psak is going to have to pay something to compensate the kohen for his loss. How much he has to pay? We said for a behemah gasa, half of its value. Because a maisa, we don't know for sure that he caused the loss. It could be that the kohen would have lost it anyway. And for a behemah daka, where lamaisa, he saves him. The fact that it was shechted saved a lot of work for the kohen. He would have to raise it. He would have to pay a quarter of its value. Then we said like this, a dayan that paskins dine mumminus, money shilas, and he made a mistake. Either he took someone that does have to pay and he said, no, you're potter, or someone who's really potter said, you do have to pay. Over that matter, he said something is tummy when it was really tahar, or said that it was tahar when it was really tummy, in all these cases. So for the most part, the psak is a psak. But he's going to have to pay for the loss. They have this very big sugyas, because normally we say if I indirectly cause someone a loss, I don't have to pay. This would be called dina de garmi. So there is a mandama that says that in this case you do have to pay. What about the opinion that says when you indirectly cause a loss, you don't have to pay? So this is talking about a case where it's called he was nosav and nosam beyad. Let's say Reuven tainted Shimon owes him money. Reuven had a mashkin, a collateral. If he doesn't pay him back, he could keep the mashkin. Here the dayan took the mashkin and returned it to him. So it's not indirect. He physically did something that was wrong. But let's say they brought him pay rice. He said, no, this is tummy. And just to make sure you don't change my psak, he took a dead sheretz and touched it. Or let's say something is tummy. It's really tummy. And he said it's tar. And he took it and mixed it with other pay rice. Just to prove there's nothing wrong with it. And later, it was a mistake. So he physically did things. According to the mandama, you're not chayev for doing things indirectly. In this case, he would be chayev because he not only paskin, but he mamish took his hands and carried out the psak. But this is only if he wasn't an expert, if he wasn't a mumcha lebezdin, didn't have reshus to paskin. But if he had reshus to paskin, then even if he made a mistake, he doesn't have to pay. Person can make a mistake, and they can't tell him, well, what right did you have to paskin? He did have a right to paskin. And the Mishnah even told us a story about an animal that its womb was taken. Reb Tarfon said it's treifa. And he gave it to dogs to eat. And the Chachamim said it's not treifa. It could live even if the womb was taken. He even said that all the Parais and Chazeris, the Kamai of Alexandria, they bedafka take out the womb because they don't want it to have children in a different country. You should have to come and buy theirs. And we see these animals live. So Reb Tarfon said, he said to his donkey, like, goodbye, I'm going to have to sell you to pay back. But Reb Akiva told him, no, that's not true. You're a mumcha lebezen, Reb Tarfon, and you don't have to pay it back. The truth is, there's another reason he wouldn't have to pay back. This is called Toya Bedvar Mishnah. We won't get into it now, but there's a difference whether the dayan makes a mistake with something called Shikul Hadas. That means, it doesn't say Beferish, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, it doesn't say Beferish. We paskin like, he assumes he paskin like one tanner or one amira. But most people don't paskin that way. That's called Shikul Hadas. Then there's making a mistake in something that it says. It says one thing, he did something else. There's also a difference whether both sides agreed, whatever this person says we're going to listen to, even though he's not an official Bezdin. Like with everything else, this is a very complicated sugya, when a Dayan is responsible for a mistake, and in general, how we have to pay for even indirect damages that we cause to others that we have to be careful about. As a Shem Yisbarach, you learn the Sugya Sagamara here and elsewhere. You'll be Zeicher, the big Talmid HaChachamim, and hopefully you'll all be a Bezdin Mumcha. So therefore, you won't have the problem.